This morning we will study together from Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 13, all the way through to verse 16. Verse 13. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. Verse 14. And the living creatures ran and returned, as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Verse 15. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures and his four faces. Verse 16. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl, and the four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, this morning we will continue studying together the chapter 1, as we have studied the first 12 verses in the other preaching sessions. This particular chapter is talking about the victorious footstep of our risen Savior. And as His servant, we must follow His footsteps. It is very important for God's children to recognize what is a genuine servant of a living God and what is a false prophet. And here, from verse 13 to verse 16, we shall read together the characteristics of the genuine servant of Jesus Christ. Now, to study Ezekiel chapter 1, it is much more difficult than the other parts of the New Testament, for example, because these verses are written for God's children to study the hidden manna. Instead of studying the literal meaning, we must study the hidden manna or the spiritual meaning out of this chapter. Now, the spiritual meaning are very difficult to extract until unless you comprehend and understand most part of the Bible, if not all part of the Bible. You will not be able to extract the spiritual meaning. I shall give the spiritual meaning to you, verse at a time, of course. And let me explain to you. The hidden manna is very similar like math. For example, in math we say A equal to B and B equal to 1. What is the value of A? Well, you would say A equal to 1. And what is the value of B? B is equal to 1. Therefore, A is equal to B, isn't it? That's a common sense, right? Likewise, the Word of God is not of any private interpretation. You cannot say, well, I like to see and interpret the word fire, perhaps, for whatever you want to say. That is not the case in the Scripture. However, there are many, many people out there that like to explain as they read along the Bible on their own head. Now, that is very dangerous. Every single word in the Scripture has its explanation found many times in different parts of the Scripture. For that reason, you must invest your time studying in detail the Word of God and not guesstimating in your own carnal mind what the meaning of the word, you see. So let us look in detail each and every one of the words of God. Before we go on, I would like to read for you the verses that say that no private interpretation is permitted in the Scripture. 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21, I read, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, my dearly beloved, every word in the whole Bible is written by saints and prophets that are filled by the Holy Spirit. And every single word in the scripture must be interpreted according to the word of God. Just like I mentioned earlier, it is of no private interpretation. You cannot use your own brain, your own carnal mind to try to interpret it. It'll be a disaster because Satan will fill your mind. And as a result, right now in many, many churches, we have so many different kinds of gospel simply because they do not study the Bible and they do not ask the Holy Spirit to teach them the meaning of each and every verses, and so on. Let's go back to verse 13. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like the burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. My dearly beloved, the burning coals of fire refer to great faith and perfect faith, constantly burning in our hearts. Fire, the word fire, refers to faith. How do we know that? We can refer to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. I read, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let me repeat. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, the word fire in here is written and explained by the Apostle Peter as faith. You see, the trials of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. So put a mark. Fire refers to faith. Now the burning coals of fire, we know what burning coals are, they're constantly burning, refers to great faith. In other words, the coals are constantly burning, and of course it also refers to constant faith. So in other words, the burning coals of fire means constantly burning great faith. You see, many, many God's children out there do not have faith, or they have very small faith, or they have shaky faith, or doubt, and so on. But the servant of a living God must be filled with absolute faith that are constantly abiding in their heart, because they are fully grown in Christ Jesus. And so they have great faith. And if you see a so-called servant of God that do not have faith, you know that they are not the genuine servant of the living God. Now, there are many examples of great faith and perfect faith in the Bible. For example, Abraham, when he offers Isaac at the altar, he had absolute faith in the Lord God, to the point that he believed if he offered Isaac, and of course, if Isaac died, the Lord God is able to cause Isaac to come back to life. That's the kind of faith that Abraham has. As a result, when Abraham offered Isaac on the altar, the Lord God, when he was about to offer Isaac and strike down with his knife, the angel spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, stop, do not do any harm to the lad. As a result, Abraham did such a beautiful manifestations of his faith to God, that God cannot but bless Abraham. As a result, Abraham's descendants, including each and every one of God's children and the Jews, are being blessed by the Lord God because of Abraham. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ was born a Jew instead of Americans or Chinese or Japanese and so on. Now let us continue with the word, the appearance of lamps. The appearance of lamps refers to looking like Jesus. In the book of Daniel chapter 10 verse 6 I read, his body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polish brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Let me repeat. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polish brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. You see, my dearly beloved, the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ is the lamp of fire. And if you look into verse 13, it says right here, and like the appearance of lamps. You see, the appearance of lamps refer to Jesus Christ, and the eyes of our Lord is described as the lamp of fire. For that reason, a genuine servant of a living God must have not only the appearance of the lamb, which refers to the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, but very, very important, as well as the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. The eyes of our Lord is as lamps of fire. What is the meaning of being a lamp of fire? In other words, the lamp of fire referred to great light. You see, it's not a tiny little candle that is with a small fire, but rather the lamps of fire is a big light that can see through everything that the enemies has offered to counteract and attack us. We must be crystal clear spiritually. As born-again believers, every one of God's children are given a pair of spiritual eyes, and this pair of spiritual eyes are needed to read the Word of God. If you use your physical eyes to read, you will never comprehend the Word of God, simply because every single word of God is spiritual by nature. You see, you cannot read them with your physical eyes because you cannot comprehend them in your carnal mind. Now remember, the Apostle Paul tells us that the carnal mind is enmity with God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see, that's Romans 8. And so, if we use our carnal mind to try to comprehend the word of God, you will end up in a disaster, isn't it? We must use our spiritual insight to read the Word of God, to comprehend spiritually. And of course, we must also be able to see through the power and the wiles of the devil. Just like the Apostle Paul mentions, we are in a spiritual warfare. We are not in physical warfare, you see. You must see how the power of darkness uses some people to attack you. It is not the person that you will fight with. It is rather the power of darkness coming through and stationing in the heart of that person, and then use that person to launch its attack on you. For that reason, my dearly beloved, we must have the pair of eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ to see through when they are about to do harm to us. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us with his words that we must be as wise as a serpent, but meek as a dove. Towards others, we must be harmless. We must not be crafty. We must not do any danger or any harm towards others. However, whenever others are harming us because Satan is using them to harm us, then let us be crystal clear with our eyes, the eyes of the eagle. Remember, the four faces of the cherubs, including the face of the eagle. The eagle soars up real high in the sky and uses his eyesight to see through from far away the wiles of the devil. For that reason, we must use the eyes of the eagle to see through what Satan is about to do to you. be very, very cautious of that. Now, the next thing that we must analyze, it says it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. Now, my dearly beloved, as born-again Christians, we must have faith. And as a servant of a living God that are fully grown in Christ Jesus, they must have absolute perfect faith. In other words, their faith must shine forth wherever they go. They must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with absolute faith, not with a carnal intelligence. There are many, many so-called servants of God that preach it with a carnal intelligence. They use their theological knowledge instead of using the power of the risen Savior. However, in here it says, they must bring forth the power of the risen Savior, simply because it says out of here, and out of the fire went forth lightning. You see, lightning refers to the power of the Lord God. You see, when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as genuine servants, they must carry with them the power of the risen Savior. In 1935, very precious servant of a living God by the name of Dr. Johnson, whenever he preaches, he carried the power of the risen Savior. Every time he preaches, the whole hall many times would weep with tears of repentance. Literally, half the hall we have at one time, our brother, our servant of a living God, testified to me that whenever Dr. Johnson preaches in a huge big hall in Shanghai, literally half the hall would weep in tears, my dearly beloved, weep in tears of repentance. This is the power of the Lord God. These days in the end time churches, it is very sad to see that very few would weep for their sins. However, Dr. Johnson, every time he goes to every single church and expound the doctrine and rebuke for sins and make sure that every single person would confess each and every one of their sins, they would weep with tears, my dearly beloved. These days, many churches in America, sad to say, and also many parts of the world, refuse to mention the word sin. However, without confessions of sins, there is no way the Holy Spirit would even come through our heart, isn't it? We must genuinely repent each and every one of our sins and confess them from our heart, genuinely crying to God for mercy before the Holy Spirit can even come through. And of course, each and every one of our sins must be washed by the precious blood of Jesus. Now, my dearly beloved, it is very important to note a genuine servant of the living God must be filled with absolute power of the risen Savior, must be filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Lord with absolute great and perfect faith, just as the fire was bright and out of the fire went forth lightning. Verse 14, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Another mark of the genuine servant of a living God, and of course, as God's children, we must be filled with the Spirit of the Lord and His strength. And our appearance must be like a flash of lightning. What do you mean by a flash of lightning? Of course, we know earlier, as we read in Daniel chapter 10, verse 6, I shall repeat here, his body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning. You see, my dearly beloved, the face of Jesus is like the appearance of lightning. In other words, the appearance of lightning means godly. As a servant of a living God, we must look like Jesus. We must not look like the devil, black and burnt and ugly. We must have the shiny face of Jesus. We must shine forth wherever we are. You see, many, many servants of a living God out there, the so-called servant, not the genuine ones, falter into the things of sin. They do not shine forth in their appearance, you know. They can falter the things of mammon and embezzle the church or the things of fornications and so on. And it is very sad because the word of God tells us as his servant, we must have the appearance of a flash of lightning. We must look godly and we must bear the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. And the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit include love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You see, as God's servant, we must manifest the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. And of course, as God's children, we are also His servant. We must manifest and continue to manifest the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. And if you do not manifest, for example, love, then of course you are not fully grown. And of course, many times it is a sign of a false prophet. And if you do not manifest long-suffering, then we also know that you need to grow and keep on growing until the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, which include long-suffering, which means much, much patience, lots and lots of patience, before we can be considered as His genuine, fully grown servant. Now, the other aspect of rain and return as the appearance of lightning is also spiritually refers to the spirit of wisdom. As God's children and as His servant, we must be filled with the spirit of wisdom, you see. Apart from the spiritual alertness against the enemy, we must be filled with the spirit of wisdom. The Word of God tells us, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Sound mind means wisdom, a balanced mind, you see. It is very important for us as His children, as well as His servant, that be filled with the spirit of wisdom. Now, this wisdom also includes being able to see through and being alert of the power of darkness whenever they are out there to maul us or harm us. Another aspect of wisdom as God's children is spiritual comprehension. Whenever the Holy Spirit fills our heart, the Holy Spirit will begin to impart His wisdom into our body and our mind. For that reason, we would be able to gauge and comprehend the will of God, of course. Apart from the enemies trying to harm us, we must also comprehend what is the will of our Lord God in our life. We must never, ever live a drunken life. You see, the power of darkness used the world against God's children. That is His most powerful tool against each and every one of us. You see, the power of darkness used flood. The book of Revelation, I read, chapter 12, verse 15. "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood." Let me repeat. "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood." My dearly beloved, the most powerful tool against God's children and the churches is flood. The enemy uses flood means the world. Flood spiritually means the world, you see. And the flood, just like our Lord Jesus mentioned, "The foolish man built his house upon the sand. As the flood comes down, it washes it off." Now the flood here refers to the world, and the world in Apostle John tells us the world would include the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These things are of the world. "And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You see, the world is not just the material things that we see. That's not the definition of the world. The biblical definition of the world mentioned by the Apostle John is the lust of the eyes. Do you have the lust of the eyes? Do you watch things uncontrollably? Televisions, movies, pornographies, and so on? Or read bad books, unhealthy books? All of those things are called the lust of the eyes. How about the lust of the flesh? Well, it can vary between loving to sleep for no reason, or eating non-stop, or excessive sexual needs is not needed, and abusing your spouses, and so on. So all of those lusts of the flesh, anything that is not a need is called lust, you see. For example, gluttony is a lust. Food, yes, we do need to eat food, for example, one day maybe 2 times or 3 times. That is a normal way of eating food. However, if you keep on eating food for no reason, like some people, when they are nervous, they keep on eating and eating and eating, trying to quench their nerve. You see, they're trying to quench their nervousness. And as a result, instead of eating, they become committing what we call gluttony. They become controlled by the food that they eat. They are not eating because they need it. They're eating because they're trying to quench their nervousness. That is very sad. So that is called the lust of the flesh. Now, the third thing is the pride of life. You see, many, many preachers, and of course, God's children, has fallen into the pride of life, which includes the worship of money. All day long, they have in their head but money. They worry about money. All day long, they don't have Christ in their heart. They're centered on money instead of Christ-centered. That is very sad, isn't it? But that's exactly what our enemy does. He attacks us with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Some people, they would only live and labor for money. But as God's children, we must only labor for Jesus. Our heart and mind and our eyes must only see the things of the Lord, you see. We must be Christ-centered and not self-centered. Now, verse 15 says, "Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth, by the living creatures with his four faces." In here, it says, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures. The meaning of one wheel in here upon the earth refers to the Holy Spirit. You see, when Christ Jesus died on the cross and paid all our sin debt in full, and he rose from the dead, the first thing that he mentioned to the apostles, and of course his children and the disciples, is wait in here, for I will send the Holy Spirit down. He must come down and fill each and every one of us. That's during the day of the Pentecost. And after that, ye can be my witnesses. You see, it is very crucial for each and every one of God's children to be born again of the Spirit of God and to grow in the Spirit, simply because the one wheel refers to the Holy Spirit is sent into our life in order to indwell us and to give us the power to witness for Jesus Christ, the power to be able to live life victoriously for Christ Jesus. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not the gospel of easy believism. It is the gospel of victoriousness, my dearly beloved. Please pay attention. Simply because many, many churches are not preaching and expounding the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the work of Satan, you see. Satan, the father of lies, diluted the word of God, uses many, many so-called preachers to deceive each and every one of God's children. For that reason, we must read the scripture very carefully and comprehend that the word of Jesus Christ, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is after the gospel of victoriousness. It is not the gospel of easy believism or so-called Hollywood Christianity, where you just come in into the church and hear some beautiful sermon and get baptized and go home and no changes in your lifestyle and hoping and believing that you will end up in heaven. That is not the case, my dearly beloved. The path of the cross is so narrow. It is contracted with many, many pressures. In other words, there are many, many sins. You cannot bring them into the path of the cross. However, sad to say, many churches today refuse to mention anything about sin. They will tell you all the wonderful things about God, all the blessings, but they would never, ever mention about sin. My dearly beloved, the path of the cross is so narrow, you must discard each and every one of our sins and depend totally on the power of the risen Savior through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And we must crucify our flesh. There is no way around it. You cannot remove the cross. You cannot remove the gospel of Jesus Christ, the narrow way. And you say, well, that is, some people said that gospel is too narrow. My dearly beloved, it is sad, isn't it, to realize that many, many people do not know what is the true gospel. Just like there is real diamonds, there are some fake ones. Zirconia look very similar to diamond and shine even more, but zirconia is not the real diamond. My dearly beloved, the gospel of Jesus Christ is absolutely powerful. It is absolutely godly. It is absolutely narrow. It is so narrow to the point that many strive to enter but could not. You see, the word of our Lord Jesus Christ is very accurate. He says, narrow is the way and few will get in there. Broad is the way, plenty of people will be there. Let me ask you a question. Are you one of them? Which is the pathway you're taking? Are you taking the broad way or are you taking the narrow way? If you take the narrow way, you're going to have to deal with each and every one of your sins and repent of it. It would be a lie of Satan by saying, well, I've been in churches for 40 years, you know. My dearly beloved, I shall share one precious testimony with you. I have a real story that the Lord has instructed me to labor upon. Somewhat 10 years ago, perhaps more than 10 years ago, I was instructed by the Holy Spirit as I was in prayer to look back into the church in the south of the city where I live. And as I prayed before the Lord, I said, what is it, Lord? I said, well, that's your next project. Then I call up one sister in Christ and ask her, first of all, whether she knows anything good about the churches in the south part of the city. And she said to me, forget about it. There's not one that is good. So finally, check into the internet and look back in the former church where I used to attend and discover that one of the sisters in Christ is dying of terminal cancer. Then as I come before the Lord God, before the throne of grace to pray, I saw her face and the voice of the Lord says, quickly, there is not much time left for her. Now this particular sister in Christ had been in church for most of her life. And what is tragic about it is the very fact that her husband, that is a drunkard, beat her up, abused her, and refused to work. So she had to raise her own two children on her own strength. And of course, she had to go out there and get a job. No question. However, when I saw that news about her, that she was dying of terminal cancer, that the cancer has spread through everywhere in every part of her body, and we know in that scenario that her life is not much left, isn't it? That she was about to die. So the voice of the Lord spoke to me and said, hurry, quickly, for there is not much time left on her. But I've always known that this sister, because she was in the Sunday school that I taught in that church, she was never born again of the Spirit of God, my dearly beloved. And it is my concern that I know that the Lord would like to save her. She has been in that church for many, many years and has been baptized in that church. And she has been attending that church week after week, Sunday after Sunday, but she was never born again of the Spirit of God. Nonetheless, by the time I met her and found her dying on the bed, in time to meet her face to face, I asked her the real, genuine question. As she was physically shutting down and dying on the bed, I asked her, I said, sister, are you ready to go home to be with Jesus? And my dearly beloved, when you are dying in the bed, I can guarantee you, you would have to be honest with yourself at that point of time, isn't it? And so she responded and answered, and she said, I don't have the assurance. You see, my dearly beloved, when we are about to face death, you know deep in your heart whether you have the assurance, whether you are going to face our Lord with absolute victoriousness and joy, or whether you say, well, I don't know whether I can make it. That's exactly what happened to the sister. She said, I don't have that guarantee. So I told her, I said, that is correct. That is why I'm sent your way. And if you're willing to repent and confess your sins, let us pray together. So she agreed and we began to pray and I led her to confess all of her sins and repent of it. At the end of that prayer, as we finalized the prayers together. And thereafter, I ask, how do you feel right now? And this sister replied, I felt all the dirt has left me. And I said, do you feel peace in your heart? She said, yes, absolutely. My dearly beloved, my heart rejoices. I knew that the Holy Spirit is in her heart and that now she is going to go home to be with Jesus. So she told me to put herself down on a wheelchair. At first, I thought to myself, perhaps she would like to go out there to take a walk instead of being in bed. So I pushed the wheelchair and she told me to push it right to the front door. Thereafter, she stood up with all her strength, knowing that she had terminal cancer and chronic fatigue at that point of time. However, this sister was so very appreciative, was very grateful to me that she took all her strength to stand up and shake my hand just to let me know that she appreciated and deeply thanked me for what I have done for her. My dearly beloved, it is not me, I told her, do not thank me. It is Jesus that she must thank. And she shook my hand and we parted. And 2 days later, she's gone to be with the Lord. My dearly beloved, there are many, many times that we must pay attention to the voice of the Lord. And in this case, the Holy Spirit instructed me, hurry up, there is no time left. However, I rejoice in my heart that right now she's gone to be with the Lord. You see, verse 15 says, now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. This one wheel referring to the Holy Spirit that is constantly being with us, his children. Now, the purpose of the Lord God living behind or giving us the Holy Spirit is to assist us. The Amplified Bible described the Holy Spirit as our comforter. You see, and comforter is defined as counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, and standby. So the Holy Spirit is actually sent for the purpose of counseling us. You see, he's our counselor. And to help us, he's our helper. And he's our advocate. He's like our lawyer. You know, whenever we face problem, we ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, please help us. How do we handle the scenario? And the Holy Spirit will voice to us from the scripture in our hearts, together hand in hand with the word of God to tell us what to do. And he's our intercessor. Whenever we feel very grief in the spirit because Satan attacked us, he will intercede for us in prayer, isn't it? And strengthener. Whenever we feel very weak, we need to come to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, please assist us. For that reason, we must pray frequently and pray in the wilderness to strengthen us. And he's our standby. Many times the Holy Spirit will voice in our ear, be careful, danger is coming. Be careful, the power of darkness is here. You see, he is a standby. And also, don't forget, he's our comforter. He comforts our heart whenever we feel down, whenever we feel difficult. We can't go over a certain tribulation. The Holy Spirit will voice it, come on, get going. You'll be okay. You'll be over this difficult trials. All of those voices are the voice of the comforter, the Holy Spirit. And our Lord Jesus tells us the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. You see, he cannot indwell in the heart of lies. For that reason, we must repent of our lies and of our sins in order for the Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth, to be able to indwell in our hearts. And never forget to always repent and confess each and every one of our sins by the precious blood of Jesus before the Holy Spirit can come through in our heart and control our heart. Now, verse 16 says, the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. My dearly beloved, the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl. What is the meaning of the color of a beryl? Incidentally, the color of the beryl refers to our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Daniel chapter 10, verse 6, I read earlier. Let me repeat. His body also was like the beryl. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ is defined as having a body of a beryl. So the appearance of the wheel and their work was unto the color of a beryl. If you don't understand the scripture well enough, you would not comprehend the meaning of this verse. The appearance of the wheels, what are the wheels referring to? In here, there are two wheels. And it says right here, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. You see, the two wheels refer, one wheel is the Word of God, and the other wheel refers to the Holy Spirit. You see, these two wheels work together. You see, for that reason, it says right here, their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Can you imagine that? A wheel in the middle of a wheel? Well, that's exactly how the Holy Spirit works hand in hand with the Word of the Lord God. The Word of the Lord God is very much alive, my dearly beloved, so long as we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key to the car. A car requires a key to drive, isn't it? Without the key, you can have the car, but it would not move. It takes the key and slot in the key and you begin to drive the car, isn't it? Right? Likewise, many, many people just have the car with no key, and that's called religion. You see, if you only have the Bible, but you don't have the Holy Spirit, is having a car with no key. What is the use? It cannot transport you from point A to point B. It requires the key to be able to move the car. For that reason, many, many people were not born again of the Spirit of God. They go to church after church. They could be baptized. They could have so-called worship. However, because the Holy Spirit is not in their heart, they just have the car with no key. They can never move that car, isn't it, from point A to point B. Neither can they arrive at point B. You see, the Holy Spirit is given to us to transform us according to the Word of God. When we read the Word of God, we need the magnifying glass and the teacher to teach us, you see. And the Holy Spirit is the one that acts like a magnifying glass. Many times when things in danger are about to arise, the Holy Spirit will pop out that word for you and tell you, be very careful. This is about to happen. The Holy Spirit is given to us for the purpose, apart from telling us what kind of sins we have, He also will tell us of the future. Now let me read to you the four precious functions of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, I shall read beginning from verse 7 to 14. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. You see, the functions of the Holy Spirit is written right here by the Lord God. It says, number one, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. So, the Holy Spirit will come to convict each and every one of our sins. That's number one. Number two, he will teach us what is right and wrong, according to the Word of God, you see. And of course, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He will remind us, be very careful. That is the work of Satan. Satan is coming here. Watch and be very alert. And of course, also the Holy Spirit will tell us for the future. And most of all, the Holy Spirit will glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. My dearly beloved, there are many, many people out there. They say that they are filled by the Holy Spirit. They see visions. They can speak with tongues. But those visions and the tongue that they spoke do not glorify God. You see, my dearly beloved, you must watch out for their lifestyle. There are many, many false prophets, because Satan can also make people speak with tongue. Do you know? There are many Hindus out there. And of course, the Muslim, they all can rattle with their tongue, you see. Satan can make false tongue. Of course, there is a real true tongue. but they're also the false one. Of course, there's the real vision, but they're also the false one. For that reason, we must gauge and look at that person. If they claim to be a servant of a living God, let's take a look and analyze their lifestyle by the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Do they have charity? Do they have love? Do they have joy and peace and long sufferings, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Do they manifest godliness, or do they flounder in their flesh and love the world, go to the bar, do drinking, and watch movies? See, all of those things are the fruits of the flesh, you see. We must look very, very cautiously and with wisdom to see through what kind of servant is it. Is this a genuine servant of the Lord, or is this a fake one? Is this a false one? By the fruit ye shall know the tree, our Lord Jesus Christ says. You see, if you grow a cucumber, you cannot reap apple. It is not possible. If you grow cucumber, you can only reap cucumber. So by the fruit means by their behavior, by their lifestyle. Do they have a godly lifestyle, or all day long they think is money, they think is only the carnal things? You see, by the fruit ye shall know the tree. And so in here it says, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. You see, my dearly beloved, for that reason, it is very, very important for each and every one of God's children to receive first the Holy Spirit, be born again of the Holy Spirit, and then to grow in the Spirit by obeying the Holy Spirit and crucifying your flesh and denying yourself. If you don't deny yourself and you refuse to crucify your flesh, I can guarantee you the Holy Spirit can never grow in you. You could be born again of the Spirit of God. But until and unless you obey the Holy Spirit and deal with the enemies of the Holy Spirit apart from the power of darkness, our flesh, our old self. You see, the devil many times would provoke our flesh to be alive, you know. That's why he might send somebody and cause you to be angry. So that when you are angry, then you fall into Satan's trap. You see, the secret of the truth of the Word of God lies in His Word. When our Lord Jesus Christ says, if any man were to follow me and to be his disciple, they must deny themselves and of course take up that cross and then follow him. You see, the power of following Christ Jesus is the power of the risen Savior through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that transforms us to the image of Jesus Christ. But we have the choice to obey the Holy Spirit. We have the choice to walk in the Spirit versus to walk in the flesh, isn't it? And if you insist to walk in the flesh even though you are given the Holy Spirit, then of course whatever you sow is whatever you reap, you see. The Apostle Paul tells us, God is not mocked. He says, be not deceived, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if you reap to your flesh, of course you will reap of the flesh corruption. And if you reap to the Spirit, of course, automatically, you will reap life everlasting. My dearly beloved, the question is this, what kind of stuff do you reap right now? Are you reaping the things of carnality? Then, of course, then you must be sowing the things of carnality. Now, let me say it the other way. What are you sowing right now? If you sow to your flesh, be very careful. In the long run, short term, probably you may not feel it. But in the long run, I can guarantee you, you will be so far away from God. I don't know whether you would be able to come back. It is very dangerous to drift away from the Word of God and from the truth of the Word of God. The Word of God, incidentally, is not to be read, but to be acted upon. And our Lord Jesus Christ mentions through His Word, if you act out upon the Word of God, you would be like a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And when the flood came, referring to the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, remember, the Apostle John mentioned the book of John, when that hits you, you won't collapse. But if you refuse to act upon the Word of God and just read and be a reader, as a result, you'd be like the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And when the flood came, the wall came on you, you'll crash like anything else. Now, my dearly beloved, the Word of God is absolute truth. We cannot read it and just be the readers. We must read it and act upon it. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, he that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. You see, he that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And of course, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You see, the word of God is absolutely true, my dearly beloved. When our Lord Jesus Christ said, every single letter, every single word is alive. Of course, it is not alive to those who are not born again of the Spirit of God. It would not apply because they don't have the wheel, you see. The wheel within a wheel, referring to the Holy Spirit working the word of God in our life. It will apply to those born again of the Spirit of God, genuine believers, genuine servant of a living God and saints. We're talking for those who are born again of the Spirit of God. It would not apply if you're not born again. If you're not born again, then of course you need to repent first and cry out to God and confess each and every one of your sins and washed it by the blood of Jesus, trusting that the Lord God died on the cross in order to save you. And then the Holy Spirit will come through. And when the Holy Spirit comes through, then you can begin reading the scripture and you will experience what we call a wheel in the middle of a wheel. So the whole gospel of Jesus Christ is amazing. Now, another word of the color of a barrel, if you look at it very carefully, it is interesting to note that the book of Revelation, the foundation of the New Jerusalem, the eighth foundation, is made of beryl. Now, it is not accidental, my dearly beloved, that the eighth foundation is made of beryl. There are many, many stones inside the foundations of the city of Jerusalem. Let me read Revelation 21, verse 19 and 20. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, and the fourth an emerald. Verse 20, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth is beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. If you note very carefully, the eighth is made of beryl. Now we know that beryl refers to Jesus Christ. And the word the eighth, it is very interesting to note that the eighth is a beryl. The word eighth refers to salvation. How do we know that? Because Noah and his family are made of eight people. And they were the only one that was saved in the ark of God when the flood took over the whole world. You see, it is very interesting to note and to pay attention that only Noah and his family, they are made of eight people. You see, they are a family of eight. And they are safe because they obey and believe in the word of God. And for that reason, they represent salvation. You see, so the eighth foundation of the wall of the city is made of beryl. For that reason, beryl in here refers, if you read it very carefully, back to verse 16, the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl. You see, it is the work of salvations of Christ Jesus. The work was like unto the color of beryl means the work of the salvation of Jesus Christ. That's what it meant right here. When you substitute that, that is just amazing. And so this is called a hidden manna, because if you look at it on the surface, you're not going to comprehend why color of beryl. Because the color of Jesus Christ. Why was the work? Because it is the work of salvation. How do we know? From the book of Revelation, the number 8 represents Noah and his family. The 8 people were saved. So that is referring to salvation. So the work of salvation is the work of Christ Jesus. How amazing that the hidden manna is so sweet and to each and every one of God's children, isn't it? It is so hidden that you cannot see on the surface. However, because the Holy Spirit is our teacher, the Holy Spirit will unveil each and every one of these precious meaning, spiritual meaning, applicable to each and every verses of the word of a living Savior. Now, my dearly beloved, I shall share one last testimony for you, very, very precious. A genuine servant of a living God that is exactly marked by the characters of the risen Savior, as I mentioned earlier, Dr. Johnson. Dr. Johnson was probably the most powerful evangelist about 80 years ago among the Asian communities. He preaches in China all the way through down to Southeast Asia, including Singapore, and of course in Indonesia as well. Now, Dr. Johnson has brought 100,000 people approximately within 3 years to become the sheep of the Lord. That's a rarity. And when he preaches, some people have recorded that he had a huge, big, bright light at the back of his hand, guiding that hand of his and pointing to people and rebuking them of their sins. And at one time, that hand of his reached to someone, a so-called pastor, that was convicted as he rebuked him of the sins of embezzlement of money in the church, and of course, other sins as well. And as a result, this preacher, where Dr. Johnson's hands pointed out, he felt very convicted by the Holy Spirit, and there he knelt with tears as he repented of his sins. And Dr. Johnson was so powerfully used by the Lord God that he preaches in the province of Shantung in China. And there was one town where he preaches so powerfully to the point that the casinos, the gambling den, all are closed. And the prostitutes all repented and become genuine servants of living God. And the pop song is The Cross. In the cross, be my glory ever, for all my sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. And everyone in that town all been turned around and accepted Jesus. And the pop song in their lips is In the Cross. My dearly beloved, this is a real testimony. You see, the servant of a living God is marked with power and godliness. And my dearly beloved, we know when wherever Dr. Johnson goes, the whole churches repented. And Bibles are sold and depleted the stock totally, even from the stores. Now, my dearly beloved, I shall leave you one last precious hymns. And I shall read this short hymns for you, so that we will remember deep in our heart and mind what it says. In this hymn it says, shine forth for Jesus where you are, shine forth for Jesus near and far. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar, shine forth for Jesus where you are. Shine forth for Jesus where you are, shine forth for Jesus near and far. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar, shine forth for Jesus where you are. My dearly beloved, today we are talking about shine forth for Jesus where you are. Wherever you go, our Lord Jesus would like each and every one of us to shine forth for him, isn't it? Just like Matthew chapter 5 verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, as God's children, we must constantly shine for him, to be the burning coals of fire and having the appearance of the lamps, isn't it? We must never allow the power of darkness to stifle the warmth and the first love of Jesus in our heart. You see, the power of darkness is out there to stifle us, to gobble us, just like The word of God written in Revelation 12:17 says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of his seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." The power of darkness, my dearly beloved, is very nasty. You see, he uses the world to attack each and every one of God's children, especially the saints, especially those that keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. But rest assured, our Lord God is always victorious. Now, my dearly beloved, it is time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you to continue to shine forth for Jesus wherever you are, and to shine forth for Jesus near and far. May you always remember our Lord's words when he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In Jesus' most precious name, I ask and pray for. Amen.